We are starting right on time. Welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting, Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. It is 7 p.m. This board met in a brief executive session at 5 o'clock to discuss legal issues, and then we just finished up a conditional use hearing. So moving on to our regularly scheduled meeting, calling it to order, our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. If everyone could please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Jackson, if you wouldn't mind taking the roll.
Supervisor Zmuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
Supervisor Giovanello.
Here.
And Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
We have five present.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Okay, so our next order of business is our first opportunity for those who are in the audience to place comment on the record. Just for point of reference, all of our meetings are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. So if you do choose to come up and place comments on the record, you are being recorded. We ask that you give your name and your address and keep your comment to under 3 minutes. So with that, I will open the podium up to anyone who is here that would like to offer public comment this evening.
My name is Rich Gamble, 39 Hockerville Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm here tonight to request that the board consider a moratorium on taking residential homes and turning them into businesses. I give an example, walk down Chocolate Avenue, start at the corner of Orchard, and count all the homes that used to belong to residents of Derry Township, worked in the community, helped build Hershey, are now businesses. It seems like they're taking the older communities, one I live in. We were started around 1900. On my street alone, there's three businesses, and my street's only about 200 yards long. The other issue is regarding the result of parking. Enforcing the parking rules and regulations. On North Hockersville, going to Swidara, we have two continuing violations. The first one is on a house as you off next to 2nd Street, North Hockersville, and Reese Avenue. They're continually parking a van right at the end of the what's actually part of the road. Half of the vehicle is on a roadway and half of it's on a hillside slope. There was an accident almost occurred 2 nights ago. I was sitting outside and I heard a tire squeal. Apparently the guy coming, going south on North Hockersville to cross 422 was attempting to make a left-hand turn. Did not see the car coming because the light was green and he was moving at a good speed and almost had an accident because you cannot see around that corner. The other end is on North Hockersville and Swatara. There's an apartment building there, and they keep parking right at the end of the intersection. I check with PennDOT. PennDOT says you need to be 30 feet away from any intersection, crosswalk, or traffic control device, including stop signs. There's stop signs at both of those areas. It's a crosswalk. We need to enforce those parking regulations before somebody gets killed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. All right, is there anyone else that would like to offer comment? All right, seeing as no one is approaching the podium, we will end that opportunity for public comment, and we will move on to this evening's consent calendar. So those of you that signed in this evening, you'll notice the agenda that's at the back of the room, and it lists the items that are on the consent calendar, and the board may choose to adopt all three items, A, B, and C, as one motion, or pull them out and discuss them. So I will leave it open to the will of the board how they would like to handle this evening's consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to adopt the consent calendar items A, B, and C.
All right. Thank you, Supervisor Zmuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Seconded by Supervisor Wyckoff. Any questions or comments in regards to the items on this evening's consent calendar? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and with that, the consent calendar is adopted. All right, moving on to this evening's new business. Our first order of new business is the presentation of Red Cross and Department Life-Saving Awards to officers Anthony Bernardo and David Still, and Red Cross Life-Saving Instructor Awards to Lieutenant Timothy Roche. So this is very exciting, Chief. It's always fun when we get to start our meeting off with a celebration, so I will turn it over to you.
Which mic am I supposed to use? The Red Cross is presenting their life-saving award to officers Anthony Bernardo and David Still for their actions in providing life-saving measures during a medical assistance call on October 24, 2024. The department will also be presenting life-saving awards to both officers for their actions. The Red Cross will also be presenting recently retired Lieutenant Timothy Roche with their life-saving instructor award. And I'll turn it over to the folks from the Red Cross.
I'll use this mic. This might be my lucky one. Good evening, and thank you all for welcoming us here to Derry Township for this special presentation. My name is Laura Burke. It's funny to have my back to you, so I might turn around awkwardly throughout the presentation. I'm the Executive Director of the American Red Cross of the Central Pennsylvania Chapter. And I'm delighted to present these awards today. This is one of my most favorite parts of my job. Emergencies can happen anytime, in the parking lot, on a hot day at the community pool, or even at the office or inside your own home. Regardless of where and when they occur, emergency situations usually have one thing in common: a crowd of people standing around, not really knowing what to do, who should act. That is until some heroes emerge from the crowd. So what's a hero? And I did a little research just to make sure we're all on the same page. The consensus is it's a person who idealized for outstanding achievements and noble qualities, or one who shows great courage. I think saving lives, without question, fits that definition. So we're here today to honor some of those heroes with one of the American Red Cross Life-Saving Awards. This program dates back to 1911. And is about providing recognition to those who use their life-saving skills or knowledge in an emergency to help sustain or save a life. The recipients of these awards embody the spirit of the Red Cross mission by using action to help alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies. Since the Life-Saving Award Program revival in 2018, the Red Cross is proud to announce we have awarded just over 3,100 individuals worldwide. And as a result, they have helped save over 1,500 lives. We're about to add to that number right now. So I'd like to take a moment and share why we are presenting these awards this evening. As mentioned, on October 24th, 2024, officers Anthony Bernardo and David Still of the Derry Township Police Department responded to a 911 dispatch to a private residence. They entered the home and quickly assessed the situation. A man was unconscious and not breathing, with his wife performing CPR. Officer Bernardo relieved her and continued CPR, while Officer Still prepared an AED. The officers worked as a team and delivered two shocks prior to EMS arrival, who determined a pulse was restored. I'm very glad to report that thanks to the officer's quick actions, he made a full recovery and is here with us today. At this time, I'd like to invite our award recipients to join me up here, Officer Anthony Bernardo and Officer David Still. I'm gonna turn, if that's okay. I just do whatever I want most of the time. Here is perfect, wherever you'd like to be. Officer Anthony Bernardo and Officer David Still, I present each of you with the American Red Cross Life-Saving Award for Professional Responders. This is one of the highest awards given by the American Red Cross to an individual or team of individuals who saves or sustains a life by using skills and knowledge learned in Red Cross training service courses. This action exemplifies the highest degree of concern of one human being for another who is in distress. The certificate bears the signatures of President and CEO of the American Red Cross, Cliff Holtz, and Chairman Gail McGovern. So at this time, I am going to present you with your citations and your pins. And then the certificate is right behind with the signatures. And let's give them a round. Hang out here for a little bit longer, if you don't mind. I'd like to now invite retired Lieutenant Tim Roach to join me up here. First, I'd like to extend a big Red Cross thank you to Lieutenant Roach for nominating these officers for the award. He is also responsible for providing the life-saving training that these officers received, so we'd like to honor that at this time as well. So I present you with the American Red Cross Life-Saving Instructor Award. This is one of the highest awards given by the Red Cross to instructors who teach the skills that help sustain or save lives. So you will see your pin is attached here. There's a citation and then their certificate behind. There you are. Let's give him a round. Almost done, but I'm going to ask you to hang out for a little bit longer. In my experience with the Red Cross, I've learned that heroes, brave men and women willing to step forward and help a stranger during their greatest time of need, well, they're not usually all around us, or they are all around us, but they are not always jumping in to save or sustain a life. I've also learned that they're not common, because to act quickly and decisively during a crisis takes some courage reserved only for these chosen few. So thank you for inviting us here to allow us to recognize this evening's honorees. It is our hope that their heroic actions inspire others to get trained in skills that help save lives. So at this time, I'd like to invite Chief Garth Warner of the Derry Township Police Department to also make a special presentation. So I will exit stage left and you will remain.
Yeah, of course. Right now?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, sure, of course.
So our department also would like to present a life-saving award to both officers. It really kind of recaps what the Red Cross Award had on it as far as the incident that day on October 24th. It goes on at the end to say, the actions of these two officers exemplify the duty and honor our officers and our department place on safety and service we provide to our community daily. Their attention to duty is to be commended, and we take note of their abilities and intentionality to save the life of another person who ended up in their care. I'd like to present these awards, Tony.
Sleeping in the other room that night,
because I wanted to watch TV. And she didn't when we went to bed. She heard a noise from the other bedroom and she got out to see what it was. Never found what the noise was. So she then came into our bedroom and found me slumped over without pulse. So we both worked at Johns Hopkins for a number of years. This is our world in regards to cardiology and things like that. She starts CPR, my young 17-year-old son, calls 911, unlocks the door so that these guys can come in. Because Derry Township is ahead of many other places with having chief, since 2009 or 10, every squad car has an AED, right? They were there within, three or four minutes at most of dispatch with an AED. Two things save your life when you're having sudden cardiac arrest. This isn't a heart attack. This is pulseless electrical activity. You're dying. CPR and an AED. CPR alone will not save your life. My wife was doing CPR. They came in, took over, shot me twice. The EMS shot me a few more times for good measure. Okay, this took an hour. Right. So, coded at the hospital again, but you name it, I'm here. I'm the 1 or 2%, 10% of people who suffer cardiac arrest live, 10%. More people die of that than every major cancer combined. And only 1 or 2% end up with their faculties all over again, with another chance at life. So I just wanted to come up here to be able to say thank you to these fine gentlemen. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Officer Roach. Thank you for Derry Township for the foresight in putting AEDs in the squad cars. And you know, you're gonna see my name out and about because we're gonna get this community trained on CPRs. And we've already got AEDs starting out in the community as part of the 4-minute community. I've got one in my house. So last thing I'll say, if there is a sudden cardiac arrest within a mile of my house, now 911 actually reaches out, my AED lights up, and I can actually go and respond as a private citizen. If you don't know about that, look it up. So the Peyton Walker Foundation called the 4-minute community. Okay, thank you for your time.
Laura, thank you so much for being here to make that presentation. We really appreciate it. Thank you. I'd say for sure this is probably the most impactful thing that has ever been presented here during a Board of Supervisors meeting. So, Mr. Miller, thank you for being here. Thank you to our police officers. This was really touching and amazing, and thank you all for bringing it into the community and letting us all know that we do have heroes here and that you're helping and that Lieutenant Roche has trained our police department and that they've saved Mr. Miller's life, and it's just amazing. So thank you. Okay, moving on to our business this evening. The next item is our adoption of the decision for conditional use application number 2025-01 as filed by Melvin King regarding establishing a short-term rental use on the property located at 7 Lucy Avenue. Mr. Emmerich, if you could please provide the background.
I agree. This seems kind of blasé after all. Melvin King filed a conditional use application on January 16th to establish a short-term rental at 7 Lucy Avenue. The hearing was held on March 25th. This decision attached to this agenda item prepared by Pat Armstrong, if adopted as written, would grant authorization for the short-term rental use while attaching reasonable and ordinary conditions to its operation. I'm recommending that you adopt the decision.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. And if I remember correctly, we just saw this just a few weeks ago and had a chance to ask questions and get more details from the applicant. Does the board have any questions? I don't know if the applicant is here. Doesn't look like it. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this agenda item? All right. If not, it is available for a motion.
I'll make a motion that the decision for conditional use application number 2025-01 is hereby adopted.
All right. Thank you, Supervisor Giovanello. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Seconded by Supervisor Zamuda. Is there any additional comments or questions? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. And with that, the motion passes. Okay, moving on to a similar item, adoption of the decision for conditional use application number 2025-02 as filed by Joseph and Angela Manzella regarding establishing a short-term rental use on the property located at 564 West Caracas Avenue. Again, Mr. Emmerich, if you wouldn't mind providing the background.
You may recall that this hearing was held on the same evening as the last hearing. The decision attached to this agenda item prepared by Pat Armstrong, if adopted as written, would grant authorization to the short-term rental use while attaching reasonable and ordinary conditions to its operation. I'm recommending adoption of the decision.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Emmerich? Again, we just had the opportunity to ask questions of the applicant not too long ago and learn a bit more about this. Pretty straightforward. Any questions? All right, with that, I will offer a motion that the decision for conditional use application number 2025-02 is hereby adopted. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Giovanello. Is there any additional comments or questions? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any
aye.
Opposed? Okay, and with that, the motion passes. Okay, moving on, we are accepting the resignation of a planning committee individual. Is there a motion to accept the resignation of Sean Guay from the Derry Township Planning Commission?
I'll make a motion to accept the resignation of Mr. Sean Guay.
All right. Motion made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Seconded by first by Supervisor Zamuda, seconded by Supervisor Wyckoff. Any additional comments or questions? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any
aye.
Opposed? Okay. And with that, the resignation is accepted. Moving on to the preliminary final land development plan for SSN Hershey Retail, plat 1399. So, Mr. Emmerich, if I remember correctly, we started discussing this topic 2 weeks ago at our meeting. Mm-hmm. We had a bit of a discussion. We tabled it, and we're back again. So,
we are.
If you wouldn't mind giving us some updated information, we'll move on from there.
Sure. So, and actually, the board wanted to know more information primarily about the prospective tenant for the 4,500 square foot retail space. We did receive some additional information from the consultant, which I shared in the agenda item. It noted that the owner thinks the tenant would be something like a med spa, hair salon, small hardware, tech store, et cetera. They've added a plan note to the plan stating that the project proposes a retail tenant. If in the future a use is proposed within the 4,500 square feet rental space, that in the township's opinion would increase traffic associated with the site, the Board of Supervisors may require a traffic impact study and implementation of recommendations contained therein prior to the issuance of a building and/or zoning permit. Mr. Kenny did also provide some, you know, general park peak hour trips for a clinic use, a pharmacy, and a medical and dental office. I did also ask Eric Stump from HRG to provide some similar type uses so the board could see what peak hour trips would look like. The applicant's engineer and owner is here?
Yes.
Are both here this evening to answer your questions.
All right. Well, welcome back.
Good evening. My name is Matthew Kinney from Pannoni. And first off, congratulations to Officer Bernardo and Officer Still. Like Charles mentioned, I'm here to answer any of the questions that you have about the SSN Hershey Retail project.
Well, it sounds like we're still at the same spot we were 2 weeks ago, where there's lots of potential, but nothing identified. Am I understanding that correct?
That's correct.
So we're pretty much where we were 2 weeks ago.
Well, from in between 2 weeks ago and now, we have some updated traffic counts for some potential tenants that were provided. And you're with the owner now. So that is a change from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
You can answer any questions that you have as well.
I think most of our questions would be specific to what we would learn the use would be. So that's a pretty broad range that Mr. Emmerich noted in his update for us. I mean, medical use could be a doctor's office or just a one practicing doctor. It just seems like there's a lot of variations of what could be put in here. And it's a very busy road. You're making a left hand, or you're making a right turn out of the property into a residential area. And I think there's a lot of unease from us up here about okaying something when we don't know what we're okaying.
Where'd
Same as 2 weeks ago.
Go ahead. Where'd you get the traffic numbers from?
So we have traffic consultants inside of Pannoni. So we have registered traffic engineers that came up with the peak hour traffic for data that's currently available within either Pannoni's database based on the certain types of uses that could be at this location. Not every use that we looked into has data available because those uses aren't present within, you know, this area of the project or this county. So we tried to find something that was, you know, that could operate within 4,500 square feet and that would produce the same amount of traffic that a potential tenant would have here for small scale retail.
In addition to the hundreds of cars that go in and out of Lucy Avenue every day.
No, just, we only investigated the potential use.
So the potential use numbers would be in addition to the existing traffic.
Yes, because there's currently not a retail business at that location.
Right.
Mr. Kenny, why not just hold on to this plan and come back to this board when you have a plan of what to do with it and then proceed from there?
Yeah, I could definitely ask.
It just seems like it would make it a lot easier from our perspective if we knew it was going there to make a good decision.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think they're waiting for the plan to be approved so that a tenant can come in with a fully approved plan rather than hire a tenant and wait for, you know, a plan approval.
Well, it's not necessarily hire a tenant. It's tell us if it's going to be an urgent care or a Verizon store.
Right.
And you know, not necessarily those brands, but tell us what the intention is and then go from there. I mean, you're asking us to, you know, open the gates and give you guys the ability to do whatever you want with not really answering our questions. So,
yeah, in my opinion, I think that, you know, the tenants that we've provided or potential tenants that we've provided will all be within the required amount of parking and area that this project provides. I mean, if the note that we put on the plan says if a tenant were to reside in this building that were to increase traffic higher than what we have on site, a traffic impact study would be required. So that's something that we would do because that's a note that we put on the plan. If a tenant came in that would increase traffic above the capacity of this facility.
And improvements to be made.
Improvements?
If a new traffic study shows that improvements have to be made.
I don't think that was the note that we had on the plan. I don't think that we put that into the plan. I don't think
a traffic study without any fixes, so to speak, or improvements is, what's the point?
Yeah. So, Mr. Kenny, are you trying to sell this plan to someone, or are you trying to build this building and then sell it to someone or sell use of the building to someone? I'm kind of not understanding this.
Sure.
Like,
I'll
this is
refer to,
Mr.
Peter here.
Mm-hmm. My name is Peter Bai. I'm with SSN Hotels. We own and operate this hotel. We're just trying to maximize use of our site. As the engineer said, we don't have a tenant in place, but it's sort of like a chicken or the egg situation because no tenants want to see an empty raw land and make a commitment. So we're saying that, you know, we want to have this plan. We're not selling this plan. We're not selling the hotel. We're going to be within our uses, and if there's a high impact from another use, there's a comment in there that we would have to come in front of this board again for a separate or different use. But our uses are going to be within this low impact, which is, call it the professional offices or the medical building, medical offices, accounting offices, urgent care. We just don't know at this point. So again, no tenant is going to have an LOI for us without having some structure. And I think we've engaged Bennett Williams so that they can market the site for us. And they've been engaged for about a year, but we need to have an approval to be able to build a shell so that they can now present it to a potential tenant, which is sort of meeting these criteria.
But you see where we're coming from, where that is a very busy road, and you're unloading whatever customers are coming into this to-be-determined entity, and they're unloading into a residential area. So they're making, and then you're also, because you're using your second entrance as the hotel entrance, you would also be giving even easier access for everyone that's coming into that hotel to also use the residential neighborhood to get out of there and snake down into Wise and the rest of the... So I think there's more to... We're constantly having our residents come to us with issues about traffic, coming to us with issues about development. And I think it's really hard for us to say, yeah, sure, we'll give you a blank slate and you can come back. Because then for us, there's already the chicken. It's not the chicken or the egg. You already have the chicken. And what is our recourse if it doesn't work? Or there's too much traffic, or...
The users are going to be low impact, and if any user that we bring in, if it exceeds that traffic impact, then we have to come in front of this board to get an approval. So I'm not following, but...
So let me suggest this. Right now, it looks like this is proposed as a preliminary final plan, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like what you're telling this board is you're having a hard time securing a tenant without an approved plan. A lot of the times, tenants, if you have a preliminary plan approval, that potentially resolves the issue of not having an approved plan. Right?
Correct.
And for purposes of the board, right now it's proposed as preliminary final. If it was a preliminary plan, they could go potentially and secure a tenant and come back before you for final plan approval at that point in time. What's the time frame for action on the plan, Chuck?
The 27th of next month.
We have two meetings before then, I think. I think the board has the position that it's an academic exercise. The traffic, in theory, works, right? The problem is, and to use your analogy of chicken and the egg and having come back to the board for a traffic impact study, would be, okay, we come back to the board, we get hung up on this traffic study, it's not working, the traffic numbers are higher than anticipated, and then we sit and argue, barter back and forth over a vacant building for how many months and how many weeks to figure out what the board can tolerate, what the roads can tolerate, what the residents of that neighborhood can tolerate, and then obviously, you as a business owner and your investment, what you're willing to tolerate and back down on as a tenant or a potential tenant and receiving that letter of intent to meet in the middle with that traffic issue. So, you know, our experience to game up your scenario is that we approve this plan, the tenant that you receive a letter of intent from or whoever, whatever the situation may be, somebody that's interested, exceeds those initial traffic numbers, and then you come back to us for a traffic impact study,
And then we realize, oh my gosh, there's going to be hundreds of cars moving in and out of here. You have to settle for a lower class tenant. And then everybody's unhappy. So we try to address these issues up front to try to prevent that from happening. So I don't think it's a huge ask to provide a little bit more clarity than just say it could fall into one of these three or four silos, and we'll let you know if the numbers are higher as far as traffic goes. So I think that that's maybe a little bit clearer of where the board is.
But again, I think our users are qualifying for that traffic impact, meaning we would be looking for users that meet or don't exceed those that traffic impact numbers that
we
have.
Again, I'm here to tell you, as an academic study, that's fine. But in reality, in our experience on the board, is that these things tend to operate quite differently. And that's all this.
So Chuck, we've got some time. So Pat's suggestion of kind of splitting this in half, can we?
So one that option would be if you would decide to change this to just a preliminary plan, right? One of the conditions potentially of the approval could be that you secure and come back with a specific use with your when you submit your final plan application. Do you understand that? Yeah. So in an essence, it would give you potentially a preliminary plan approval with conditions. And one of those conditions would be to, when you come back for final plan approval, you need to provide the township with what that use is rather than a spectrum. Is that something that would meet what you're telling us your problem is?
What are your concerns? So, okay.
I'm concerned with switching back to a preliminary plan and having requirements that are on a preliminary plan. That I guess we've satisfied everything from the zoning ordinance that has been placed on this plan. There are no outstanding engineering comments at this time.
Well, there are waivers and deferrals, right? I'm looking at the review letter. It looks like there's some requested waivers and deferrals from the south.
Okay.
Right. So I'd hate to back up and for those to go away if we go back to a preliminary plan. Would those disappear if we went from...
Would what disappear?
The waivers and deferrals. Because right now we apply for a preliminary and final plan. I'm just worried about the administration of the... Going from we have a final and preliminary plan going back to a preliminary plan. And then coming back for a final and additional conditions being placed on the plan because it goes from preliminary to final. And then you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a decision on May 27th as our last day.
Peter. What was the question? Mr. Bai, what's your hesitation to boiling down? I mean, if you guys have been marketing this over a year plus, you have to have some more specific idea of what exactly you're looking for. I don't understand the obfuscation.
So one of the biggest hurdles we ran into was that a tenant likes to see the building, and if there's an opportunity, then of course they want to sign a lease or at least put up an LOI. They don't want to wait for 10, 12 months for us to put up the structure, and then they come back.
So you are putting up a building. So you are trying to construct a building and then shop for someone. This isn't just approval of a plan and then shopping for someone to come in and use the space. You're hoping to get approved, building a building, and then going out and finding a tenant.
Correct, because then this will allow the tenant to see the building, and then we could retrofit the building based on their needs inside. But at least the physical structure we can build.
Does the preliminary help? We're definitely not ready to take action on this evening. So we appreciate you both coming back here to talk to us again about this. It's definitely a little bit, we do have more information. You provided us more information on kind of what your end game is on this piece of property. Like Chuck said, we have until May 27th to act on this. That gives us two more meetings. And that way maybe Pat can give us some more information about the option that he talked about. And we can, t- the you can talk with them offline?
Yep. Yeah, I'll talk to Chuck. Chuck, I guess Chuck's talking with you.
Yeah. Okay. So do we just table this again, Pat?
Yeah, unless the board wanted to discuss. You're not taking action tonight, but if you wanted to talk about any other pieces of the plan.
Did you have?
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Can we can put conditions on this. I know that, but can we put conditions that are based on limiting number of parking spaces, limiting number of
I'd have to look.
That would
I would have to look at the zoning ordinance and the SALDO specific provisions, but if it's something that is amenable and agreeable to the applicant, absolutely. And if it's reasonable, most likely.
Obviously reasonable, but something that would keep it under the thresholds that would turn them over to
the parking spaces. The
parking.
The problem, I think, with the, and correct me if I'm wrong, the parking, you're proposed to share parking with the hotel, correct? So it's going to be hard to limit the parking when you have some proposed new parking combined with the existing parking of the hotel, right? Am I understanding that approach?
Yeah.
Well, that also makes it more difficult to know what it's going to be.
Occupancy every day, they are not.
But if we're doing shared parking, that also puts us in a situation where you could put more people into a building that you're constructing, because if you're sharing parking, you're not limited to 10 spaces or, like Supervisor Zamuda said, 6 spaces. You would have a bunch of other spaces that you're double counting. It's like almost, yes, like a loophole.
Don't forget they have to worry about their tenants, though, too.
Yeah.
They have to have spaces for their tenants.
I think that there's a lot that needs to be ironed out. And again, I think the board has been clear that we're not ready and not there yet. And we have until May 27th. So that's where we are.
All right. So at this point, I just table it. So we're going to table this again.
To be clear, Chuck, the latest time extension is May 27th, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you guys for being here.
Okay. Moving on to our next agenda item, it is the consideration of authorizing a text amendment to the zoning ordinance related to the veterinary hospital and veterinary offices use in the township. Mr. Emmerich, if you could please provide some background on our next agenda item.
Certainly. At your meeting on January 28th of this year, we discussed a request from Dave Goetz on behalf of the Hershey Animal Emergency Center to amend the township zoning ordinance definition for veterinarian hospitals and veterinarian offices. At that meeting, the board took action authorizing me, Pat Armstrong, and Dave Goetz to work together to develop a draft ordinance related to the veterinarian uses that would be brought back to the board prior to discussion. We have prepared a draft ordinance. We shared it with Mr. Goetz. He did point out that one of the objectives that they had in requesting this relief was the way that they are presently operating the animal hospital, or I'm sorry, the animal clinic on Chocolate Avenue in Palmdale is, the way they're operating it is they are limiting the number of vets that are there at any one time to meet the ordinance. However, I think technically they employ more vets than that, and they wanted to clear that up in the zoning. The zoning as it's written today allows a veterinarian office to have 3 vets on staff. The part that we missed was it wasn't just a matter of making it 4 vets. It was a matter of allowing more vets to be employed but not having more than 4 vets on property at any one given time. So the draft ordinance that was provided in your agenda item, if you so choose or agree, would be further amended to address that concern. The at any time creates an issue where I believe this center now operates 24/7, is that correct?
24/7, 365.
And it has operated that way for how long? Okay. When we say at any time, that's also opening up the hours of operation, which aren't restricted in the zoning ordinance today anyway. Pat shared some concern for opening up that that it would allow 24/7 operation. But again, today in the zoning ordinance, there is no restriction for the hours of operation, but I want to make you aware of that. So if we would amend the ordinance, it would say something to the effect that they wouldn't employ or have on property more than four vets at any one time.
Okay.
Pat, do you feel like I summarized that?
I think you can understand the distinction in adding that phrase in the definition, you know, as opposed to just limiting the use to just four veterinarians, as opposed to any four veterinarians at any given time. I mean, there is a potential for not only 24/7, but 24/7 with four vets the entire time. That's the distinction with adding that phrase. And if everyone's on board with allowing it, that's... I mean, and Chuck has indicated there's been no complaints with respect to your operation. But one thing the board should be aware of, when you make these revisions, it's not just for this use. It's for all these types of uses throughout the township. So the veterinarian office...
So veterinary uses.
Well, there's a veterinary use, a veterinary office, which is this. And then there's a veterinary hospital, which is slightly different, but not...
It allows more than... In a revision that would be proposed, it would allow more than four vets on property, is the distinction really between... And it would allow overnight stay of the animals, is really the two distinctions between a veterinarian office and a veterinarian hospital.
But Chuck, none of these uses are like in residential. Like they're all, I mean, this isn't going to be in someone's like neighborhood.
You know, so we do allow these uses in Palmdale, in the first strip of land up to the alley on each side. And that is where this operates today. Kenworthy, if that's still what they're operating under, Kenworthy is also in that strip closer to Hershey, kind of backing on the bike trail or Palmdale Park. But I think that they're next to residential use. As a matter of fact, I know they're next to residential uses. The other veterinarian office that I know of in the township, but they know may know of more, is actually operated by them, and it's the one out on Middletown Road by Indian Echo Caverns. Is there another veterinarian office in the township? Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I did for you. That's Kevin's.
Yep.
Okay. I feel bad, but yes, you were correct. And again, that use backs on to Cocoa Towns.
So this has not been advertised. This is not a public hearing. Really, the question for the board is, are you ready to proceed? And actually, first, this would be sent to the County Planning Commission, Township Planning Commission for review. But before we even get there, the question to the board is, one, do you want it to stay as written in your packets, which is simply changing three veterinarians to four? Or would you want the three to four, but also including the phrase employs more than four veterinarians caring for animal patients at any given time? That would be the additional language, right? That would be the additional language that you would insert to both those definitions, which is what the applicant is asking for.
So that second option fixes the issue.
That's what they're asking for. It would be, again, four vets caring for animal patients at any given time.
And Mr. Emmerich and Mr. Armstrong, if the next step is basically just opening up to a public hearing so that other veterinary practitioners can come in, and if they have something to add or comments to make, we allow them an opportunity to have their voices heard too.
Actually, the next step would be first to send it to the County Planning Commission, the Township Planning Commission, so they can review and provide comment to you before you advertise it for the public.
Which, and of course, the Township Planning Commission is, again, a public meeting.
Right. So it's at this point, I think it's up to the board. Number one, do you want to proceed or do you not want to proceed at all with the proposed revision? And if you do want to proceed, do you want to proceed with just changing the three to the four, or changing the three to the four and then adding that additional language, caring for animal patients at any given time, for both definitions?
Well, it sounds like we would need to do the second one to solve the issue, so.
Yeah, the first change honestly doesn't help us.
Yeah.
This the one that I just handed to you addresses our issue. Okay. I would say that Dr. Sam, who's with me tonight, was a little busy over the weekend. How many animals do you have?
I saw 29 patients every night on Friday night alone.
By yourself?
So we're looking at getting assistance to have a second vet, so that way my owners don't have to wait extended period of time when I have to wait to emergency surgeries and procedures and things like that. I don't like my owners waiting long. And that was the first night we actually had to go on diversion because I couldn't handle one more patient in the building.
And the present ordinance allows for up to three vets at one
time? No, it allows for up to three in the entire practice.
Yeah.
Like trying to staff something 24/7, 365 with three vets is
possible. The existing definitions are what is in your packet, but with a three instead of a four.
Yeah, to run a 24-hour operation to care for the number of pet owners and their pets, you just have to have more than four. You have to be able to have four people at a given time, and it takes more. I mean, it's like your fire department. You can't run a fire department on four people. You've got to have people for day shift, night shift, off, just like your police officers. You know, you've got to have some flexibility with staff. And people need to have lives.
Yeah, and that would also help you probably employ more people, too.
Yes.
Because you'd be able to have people who are part-time staff instead of full-time staff and bring a lot of more people into your practice. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So what do we need to do? We just start pushing this along the process.
Is the board okay with that additional language? Meaning caring for animal patients at any given time. What that does is it increases the potential number of vets that they're going to have at any given time at the business.
Can I explain if you want to drive for the time? So during day shift, we have inpatient vet and we have an outpatient vet. We like to try to have one. We want to have one of a swing one so it can help the day shift and the night shift. Night shift, there's only one vet on, doing both inpatient, outpatient surgeries and procedures. So really we need more than four, like four in the building, because if you switch over shift, you're going to have four at the same time in the building. Usually on shift, it's two or three if we can. So that's kind of why we need more. So that way we can keep our wait time down and also provide the best care we can to have vets on a smaller amount of patients to provide more care.
Makes sense. Okay.
What was the purpose of the text amendment again? Refresh my memory of the text amendment. Refresh my memory concerning the text amendments.
I can answer that.
Go ahead, Charlie.
And I really respect them for it. They're trying to be honest. They're trying to follow the ordinance. They need this leeway to run the business well. And rather than just doing it, because Lord knows, I would never know. Rather than just doing it, they've come in and before the board asking that the ordinance be amended to operate above the law.
Yeah.
Is that a fair summary?
That's a very fair summary, yes.
I don't think, yeah. Okay, so if it looks like we're all good, I will offer the motion that the Board of Supervisors is agreeable to proceeding with an amendment, and the board can entertain. The Board of Supervisors authorizes the township staff and solicitor to forward the draft ordinance with any suggested modifications, which I don't think we made any suggested modifications.
We're adding that insert.
Yeah.
Caring for animal patients at any given time to the Dauphin County and Derry Township Planning Commissions for review and comment and to be advertised for a public hearing and consideration of adoption. So thank you for both being here and for all of the details, and thank you for this too.
Certainly.
I've got to say, I
made the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Supervisor Giovanella. Is there any additional questions or comments? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, and with that, the motion passes.
Thank you. I have been at a lot of township meetings over the last more than three decades, and I was not moved as much as I was tonight with the presentation for officers. That was something you should be all very proud of.
Thank you, Mr. Goetz. Okay, moving on to our last item of business this evening. It is the releasing of the financial security and entertaining the maintenance security period for the Milton Hershey School Bachmanville Road Roundabout Stormwater Management Plan. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. This stormwater management plan was for the newly constructed roundabout. Recent inspection by HRG led to a recommendation that the money could be released and be replaced with a maintenance security, which would be $209,943. If approved by the board, the financial security will be replaced by the maintenance security to be held for the 18-month maintenance period. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorizes the release of the financial security in the amount of $1,976,423, provided in the form of a Travelers Casualty Insurance Company of America bond for the Milton Hershey School Bachmanville Road Roundabout Stormwater Management Plan, contingent upon Milton Hershey School providing the maintenance security in the amount of $209,943.
All right, thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Is there any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this? All right, with that, is there a motion to approve?
I move that the Board of Supervisors authorizes the release of financial security in the amount of $1,976,423, provided in the form of Travelers Casualty Insurance Company of America bond number 10774222 for the Milton Hershey School Bachmanville Road Roundabout Stormwater Management Plan, S-2022-19, contingent upon Milton Hershey School providing maintenance security in the amount of $209,943.
All right, thank you, Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Is there any additional comments or questions? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any
aye.
Opposed? Okay, and with that, the motion passes. Okay, wrapping up our new business for this evening, and we are now moving on to Supervisor Board and Committee reports. So, Supervisor Zamuda, if you could kick them off, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My only report is a transportation discussion this morning. It was quite involved and quite technical at times. So we first met with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts. We discussed their new concert season, their new event season. They're proposed to us new traffic patterns and devices and that would mitigate traffic issues that we've been experiencing over the last decade or so in this area. In addition, HERCO has also indicated that if anybody's familiar with the intermodal station downtown, it's some of the lights have been out. It's been quite dirty and kind of trashy, but they've cleaned it up. The lights are back on. They've gotten guys in there to hose it down, so to speak. So it should be clean, and they're going to regularly visit that. DTMA also visited. The Ridge Road project has been delayed again because of rocks. They're having trouble getting through them. It's taking a lot of time. And there was some discussion about opening the tunnel on Ridge Road, which at the end of July at this point, which may happen, but because there's going to be further construction down there along that short portion of Ridge Road, they may have to close that portion of Ridge Road too. Again, like I said, there was major discussion on that. So they're going to come back to us at the end of next month and come up with some kind of plan to keep part of that open. Stoverdale Road, the truck restrictions are in process right now. For that to happen, we have to put forth an ordinance in the township here, and I assume our township manager and our lawyer, our solicitor, will be working on that diligently. Let's see. There is also a project for replacing seven storm sewers, sewer pipes, and that should be done by the end of June. If you remember the last meeting we had, I mentioned Tom Haffey suggested that a PennDOT review of Cocoa Avenue be done. That is in process right now. PennDOT has promised that they will have, well, promise is a big word for them, but they promised that it should be done within 30 days. And that's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Supervisor Giovanello, do you have a report this evening?
No.
All right, Supervisor Wyckoff.
I have no report this evening.
All right. My only report is Supervisor Giovanello and I were both at the ICDA meeting, and we approved some expenditures for upgrades at the Giant Center that happened back in February because they had no heat. So that is my only report for this evening. And so moving on to departmental reports, we'll start with Chief Warner with the Police Department. All right, thank you. Mr. Sassman.
Just wanted to bring up one thing. The Hershey Partnership for May 17th, Saturday, is hosting, it's sponsoring a different barbecue from the fire department. That will
awesome.
Be held on site at our place, Travis Avenue. We have some flyers coming out. They can click on QR codes.
That sounds amazing. Hopefully we can get that out on our, I see Becky's already on it. We'll get it out on all of our social channels too. That's fantastic. That sounds like a great thing to do. Is this the first time they've done that for you guys? Oh, that's wonderful. Hopefully it becomes a tradition. That's wonderful.
Dave, what are the times on that?
It's 11, I think it starts at 11 a.m.
Would you suggest reservations?
Well, it's not a need in it to pick up all things.
Well,
right, it's
reservations for pickup.
There are pre-orders.
Okay.
Yes, pre-orders.
Outstanding.
Awesome. Okay. That's great news. All right. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're starting asphalt repairs throughout the townships in a variety of places, as well as working on our facilities with
All right, thank you. Mrs. Jacobine.
So the library is hosting an end-of-life discussion series. It's been going on for a couple of months, but our current one is with Hospice of Central PA. The one coming up on Wednesday, April 30th at 6 p.m. is What's Next After Your Loved One Has Died. And then on May 28th, we have one on grief and bereavement, and they'll be leading the discussion and helping people talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually you come with a very lighthearted. Those are very important, important conversations, but usually your report's a little more light. Okay. All right, Ms. Walker.
Anglers ages 12 and under are welcome to join the event. No pre-registration is required. We are grateful to our sponsors who have enabled us to provide the grand prizes. So Hershey, Hummelstown, Kiwanis, Bob Clouser, Bass Pro Shops, Dale Waybright, and the Palmyra Sportsman's Club, and the Derry Township Friends and Parks and Recreation have enabled us to stock the pond and then provide prizes, grand prizes for first palomino, longest trout, heaviest trout, and then prizes for all participants as well. Yes, looking forward to it.
That sounds great. And the egg hunt was a big success. That was wonderful. That was since our last meeting. So you and your team did such a nice job pulling that off, and it was amazing. One question I do have about the fishing derby. Is there any possible way where we, if it hasn't been done before, making sure that people don't park on Bullfrog Valley Road? I know you just noted where they should park. That doesn't necessarily mean they will park there. I don't know if in the past we've put out caution tape or something so that people aren't pulling on and off of Bullfrog Valley.
I think it has gotten a little bit better with the fencing that was put up a few years ago.
Even on the other side, I think they park, though.
There will be some CSOs on site.
Okay.
The property,
I think the CSOs will really help. That's a good discouragement of not parking on that side of Bullfrog Valley. So thank you. Thank you for everything that's going on with Parks and Rec.
Supervisor Rett said about the Econ. Huge hit. Shout out to the fire department, too, for transporting the bunny. I know that's always an important job.
So. Okay, moving on. Mr. Stump.
Nothing to add to Supervisor Zamuda's report from this morning.
Okay. Mr. Emmerich.
Nothing more this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Jackson.
I would just encourage everyone to attend the fishing derby. Amy would love to pose for a picture with her catch, weigh and measure them. She's happy to do that.
Mr. Jackson knows this is my favorite event.
AJ might be covering this one.
AJ will be present as well. I usually ask for a lot of volunteers that have no problem handling fish.
Okay. All right. So with our departmental reports covered, this is our last opportunity this evening for anyone in the audience if they would like to offer comment on the record. Again, same rules apply. Name, address, and to please keep it under 3 minutes, and the podium is yours. All right. Seeing as no one is approaching the podium, we will close this opportunity for public comment. And our last order of business this evening is adjournment. Is there a motion?
Oh. I do just want to have a very brief executive session with respect to legal following the meeting.
Okay.
That's all.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
All right. Second.
Second.
All right. All in favor, please say aye. 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 All right.
Aye.
Mike, stay on a second. You there?